behind the news. Time check. It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from our national studios here in Accra, and also networking all our regional FMs, and live on the internet at gbc.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, where we speak to the newsmakers and experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Electoral Commission finally agrees to adopt verification system for the biometric register for election 2012. Did the commission bow to pressure? What is the cost of CPP delaying its presidential primaries? The youth of the party are worried. And then, a special initiative on maternal health. First Lady spearheads campaign program in the Upper West region. How will this improve maternal health? Behind the News, and you are live on Radio Upper West and also the Volta Star Radio. As usual, we encourage you to send in your comments on 026-441-8767. Before we get to politics, however, the question is still being posed as to why women should die giving birth. Ghana's effort to reduce maternal deaths to the barest minimum is being given a boost with a new initiative. The initiative, under the name Campaign on Accelerated Reduction of Maternal Mortality in Africa, CAMA, is being launched in the various regions. The First Lady, Mrs. Ernestina Nadu-Mills, is spearheading the campaign. The latest region to have had its launch of the campaign is Upper West. How is the region taking advantage of this to address the maternal health challenge? Cesar Kale is the Deputy Upper West Regional Minister and is now joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
Many people will feel elated that you are doing something on the ground to address this maternal health problem. What exactly are you doing?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think maternal healthcare delivery has been one of the thorny issues in our health delivery system in the Upper West region. And as you know, and as you have indicated, thankfully, Her Excellency Dr. Ernestina Nadu-Mills has taken this issue to the whole country to see how best this canker will be reduced or even eliminated entirely. Indeed, Upper West had its turn of the bite yesterday when we welcomed His Excellency Nadu-Mills into the region. And in fact, her main aim is to meet stakeholders, as done in some other regions, how best we can, as a people, together discuss this very thorny issue, and how our mothers who have been losing their lives, and the children also losing their lives during birth. And it has been something that was very, very welcoming to the chief and people of Upper West region. Indeed, today the stakeholders meeting was something very, very, very healthy, and there were a lot of commitments made. Indeed, all our political leaders, the DCs, made very firm commitments, especially the regional minister also made a very firm commitment to see to it that this crusade championed by our own mother, Nadu-Mills, see the daylight. So all the district chief executives were present, and they pledged, some of them, among other things, pledged to ensure that ambulance services transporting pregnant women to and fro from their villages to the nearest healthcare center or the referral centers are being catered, the fares and all those things will be free. And they also pledged, among other things, to ensure that at least midwife nurses, who are the key, agents of maternal health care, are given some kind of scholarship to be trained. Some of the districts pledged that for the next 5 years, they are going to train about 5 to 15 midwives to man the various health facilities within their district. And they also pledge, among other things, to put up some health accommodation for health practitioners within their jurisdiction, because this will serve as the moral booster to many of them who hitherto will not want to come to the district to come now fully to stay in the district to ensure that this canker is totally eliminated. and some also pledge, among other things, to ensure that doctors who will come to man the various health facilities within the district are given some kind of allowances aside their salaries. So these are very serious commitments that they have made. The RCC, and for that matter, the regional minister, also made a firm commitment to ensure that we also play an oversight and supervisory role, evaluate the quarterly reports, and also ensure that these commitments that have been made by the various DCEs are actually followed to the letter. Because, indeed, the chairman for the occasion was His Excellency Nasir Ibrahim, warned that these commitments that they were given should not be something that is not measurable. And all of them said that they were given very measurable, you know, pledges. It is not going to be a talk show. It's not going to be just a rhetoric. It's going to be something that is going to be achievable. So it is our commitment as a coordinating council to ensure that all these things that our DCs and political leaders have pledged, and indeed the Council of the House of Chiefs President also made a commitment. And we are going to ensure that all these commitments see daylight, so that the maternal, you know, death, whatever it is
will be reduced to the barest minimum,
if not eradicated.
Mr. Sizakale, I'll come back to you, especially looking at the issue of tradition. But as you hold on, we have joining us on the line now Dr. Robert Mensah, National Programs Officer of the UN Population Fund Country Office. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Doctor, you are also actively involved with this Karma campaign. Can you give us a background to it?
Okay. Karma is a campaign for accelerated reduction of maternal mortality in Africa. And it is being run by the OAU, which is supporting...
The AU.
The organization, or that is the AU.
Yes.
African Union. It's organizing the Karma in collaboration with UNFPA at the global level, and then countries are expected to participate in it. So in Ghana, Karma was launched in 2009 by the and as a sequel to that, we decided to take Karma to every region. Currently, we have done it in Eastern Region, Upper East Region, Northern Region, and just today we finish with the Upper West regional launch.
Yeah, the question...
Launching it in Bonga Afu Region.
Uh-huh.
The idea of Karma is to provide advocacy, financial support, social commitment, community mobilization, and everything to ensure that maternal death is limited and stated.
Yeah. We are asking the question that there's been previous initiatives to help curb all these challenges with maternal health. How different will this address the situation so that we see that really the numbers will be tumbling?
The name Karma is Campaign on Accelerated Reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So it means it is taking into consideration all previous initiatives, but it is going to be accelerated. In other words, the previous initiatives like Safe Motherhood, previous initiatives that came up, considered only the health sector as the key driver for reducing mortality. Today we know that maternal mortality goes beyond the health sector. Health alone cannot reduce maternal mortality. It's a specific developmental program that requires all hands on deck. So Karma is trying to bring to the fore everyone that is potentially associated with any human being to try and bring problems to stop. That is the essence of Karma. It is that we are improving what was there, but now we are expanding the stakeholders and ensuring the commitments are more geared towards reduction of maternal mortality.
Yeah. So have you put timelines and targets to whatever you are doing?
Yes. Karma is just expanding the Millennium Development Goals. So 2015 is the target. We are going to ensure that the rate at which we are reducing maternal mortality currently, Ghana is regarded as being making progress, but off target. which means that our target of 185 per 100,000 items.
Hello, Doc. We seem to be losing you. If you can please change your position a little so that we get a better reception.
Just for your listeners, I'm speaking to you. And that is the speaking out.
Okay. Let's manage with that little you are saying so that we can let you go.
As I said,
I guess this is a major challenge, but let's see if we can get back.
Let's try and reposition myself out of this.
Okay, and then we'll see whether we can get back to you. But coming back to you, Honorable Deputy Regional Minister for Upper West, Cesar Kali, we've mentioned the issue of societal change and traditions. You've told us that the House of Chiefs will be involved actively. How will they be addressing this one?
Yeah, thank you very much. And as I indicated, luckily enough, at the forum, the president of the Regional House of Chiefs was present. And indeed, he made a firm commitment that next week they are going to have their session. And he's going to invite the Regional Health Services Director, Dr. Nambe Ifoba, to come and rebrief them so that collectively they will also take a firm decision there as to what input they also put in place to ensure that tradition and culture should not affect us on these issues again. Because we do know that in many of the communities, in many of the villages, it is sometimes the mother-in-law who even give the order as to whether the lady who is in labor, who is suffering, should be sent to hospital. Sometimes the husband will have to commandeer or give the order that they have to send the patient to hospital. And all these things, indeed, in the past, have affected maternal mortality. And we are saying that if the chiefs are now going to take active part in this exercise, then we believe that we'll be going a long way in actually reducing or eradicating this canker. For us as a people in the region, we see it as a big relief. This kind of campaign, championed by no mean a person, but the first lady of this country. And you know, we think that this campaign also falls in line with the NDC, you know, manifesto, that under our regime, under our government, we are going to ensure that maternal death is actually reduced to its barest minimum. As you know, in this country, the twin other regions are mostly affected, especially in the Upper West region here. The situation is alarming because today I was told that already about 16 mothers have lost their lives during birth, which is something that should be condemned. It's unacceptable in this day of in this modern world.
Uh-huh.
This should not happen. So we will be teaming up seriously with the traditional rulers to ensure that our cultural practices should not impede against these kind of maternal health.
Yeah.
We should rather use this opportunity to educate all our traditional rulers, all our opinion leaders, so that they will see the need to even begin taking good care of our pregnant women right from the start to the last day that she's going to deliver, so that together we'll reduce or eradicate maternal mortality and child mortality in this country.
Mr. Cesar Kali, we want to thank you very much for your time this evening on Behind the News.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gama, for this.
And the rest of the team, that is the Deputy Upper West Regional Minister on the line. But let's see if we can get Dr. Mensah back. Hello,
yes,
Dr. Mensah.
Dr. Mensah is here.
Yes. Uh-huh. So as we wrap up, we are looking at the goals you set for yourself with the Karma campaign.
Well, you know, I listened to the Deputy Regional Minister. Thanks for technology. Whilst I was working out, you were on it and I was listening to you. The truth is, until we launched this campaign, you never got deputy ministers and other opinion leaders and chiefs, all of them talking around the same issue as it is now. So the essence of Karma is to whip up enthusiasm and focus so that we can try as much as possible to curb this social menace.
Don't you foresee any of the challenges you've seen in the past?
Sorry?
Don't you foresee any of the challenges you've seen in the past?
Oh, of course, there are lots of challenges, but the point is that our aim is that no woman should die while giving life. So, irrespective of challenges, at least we can make some progress.
Until now, you never got many stakeholders talking about maternal mortality. Today, we've got chiefs, we've got district chief executives, and you know, we are moving to all the 10 regions of the country. And wherever we go, district chief executives come, and they pledge what they will do to curb maternal mortality. Assuming each district chief executive pledges only one thing, we have a minimum of 170 pledges from all districts to try and curb maternal mortality. It is a better option than when we are zero.
Okay.
So for us, it's an achievement, and we only hope that people who pledge will redeem their pledges.
Okay.
And that this contribution you're making, even through talking to us now, will ensure that the public will hear us and the public all come on board. Because, listen to me, my brother, every human being will die. And no matter what happens, men and women will all die. But it is unfair for this world to sit down and do nothing, whilst women whose only aim is to go and give life to another human being die. That is the essence of karma.
Okay.
No woman should die whilst giving life.
Dr. Robert Mensah, we'll be monitoring the figures as they drop and still be updating all those who are listening. We want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
Welcome.
Dr. Robert Mensah is a National Programs Officer at the UN Population Fund Country Office. Behind the news, you are live on Ubuntu 96.5 and also on Twin City Radio together with Radio Central. We'll be back. Behind the news, you are live on Sunrise FM, Kofodia, and also on Garden City Radio, Kumasi. Some of your tests here. The political parties must allow EC to do their work without too much political interference. That will make the system more function and make the registration process, I think, difficult. Nalibi Nelson at Kwame Danso is sending in that one. And Gabriel Ni Obudai Togbo Ashon of GIG sent in this one, says, it's a laudable idea to have the first lady taking the challenge to help address maternal health issues. Kojue Kingscape Coast, yes, MPP performs excellently well in opposition and poorly in government. So let us confine them there for a better Ghana. That is Kojo Akins. Well, the political concerns are coming up here, and that means we are moving on to the issues of politics. The Electoral Commission has laid to rest the repeated call for the verification of the biometric register for the general election next year. The EC says it has made provision for the verification of the electoral register in its budget to the government. Earlier, the Commission had insisted on using only the biometric register for election 2012 without a verification system. The opposition MPP, the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference, and some civil society groups have been advocating the verification of the biometric register. What might have influenced the present position of the EC? Well, we have joining us presently John Lavi, a member of the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers, to look at what is happening presently. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How do you see the EC's position? Is it a good one now?
Well, it is fine. The whole purpose of doing a new register, biometric register, is to strengthen the integrity of the register. We have complained over the years about our register is not very reliable, bloating names on the register that cannot be seen on the cards and all that. So that is why we are doing the biometric. It takes several other things into consideration, including the fingerprints and then the digital picture of the holder of the card, all of which is in the central database that is very difficult to forge. Your name on the register to come and vote when your name is on the register. Now, the other groups have advocated that, yes, even if that is done, we need to verify at the point of voting that is the person and that is coming to vote, whose name is in the biometric register. So for the Electoral Commission now to say, yes, it's fine. I mean, you can verify it by what means they're coming to. They're going to explain what means will it be verified. Is it by another machine at the voting center when you come, they put your card in it and find that, yes, that is you? Or is it by a traditional application as people knowing the voters in the community at the police station and saying that, like, that is the voter we know, it's a Ghanaian, it's not a Ghanaian, all that. So all that will come to pass and everybody should be satisfied that, yes, as far as we are making progress. That is enough progress now to make sure that our elections get improved from election to election.
Okay. Mr. Labi, please hold on, because we have joining us now Sylvia Ano, the Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission, to tell us precisely what they are doing now. Good evening, madam.
Good evening, sir.
Are we to interpret it as a change in the previous position of the EC?
Come again, sir.
I'm asking whether the EC deciding to now do verification, it's now changing its former stance.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. The terms of the commission has indicated that it's been factored into the budget. The amount involved, the $20 million, has been factored into the budget. Therefore, if the money is granted, then the commission would have no alternatives but to go ahead with the verification issue.
Yeah. So, are you hinging it on money now?
That is what he said. And of course, we need to get the money in order to do the verification aspect.
Yeah. So the question being asked is, previously, it wasn't a money issue, but you thought the country can still go ahead without necessarily having the verification. Does that mean that you are changing that one?
Usually, when there is a new development related to the electoral process, there are arguments here and there, there are propositions, and of course, the commission would have to take all these things into consideration before embarking on a project. Therefore, there is nothing wrong with people making suggestions and the like. Because our stakeholders are wide and varied. We have the political parties, we have the electorate, we have civil society, and the like. And therefore, there's absolutely nothing wrong with anybody making any suggestion with a view of enhancing whatever we are doing. And the verification issue came about. And the commission's position was that it was going to deal with the biometric registration before it moves on to the verification aspect of it.
Yeah. So,
and lately, the chairman of the commission has said that it's been factored into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it means that the commission has had that in mind and has factored it into the budget, and therefore it's conditional that if the electoral commission is given the needed funds, then of course it will continue with the verification aspect of the registration.
Yeah. Yeah, so from what you are saying, sometimes people try to raise the issues and the commission has tried to clarify that it doesn't mean this is biometric voting. Can you please help us appreciate the difference between the biometric registration and then what is called biometric voting?
It's not biometric.
Okay, we do have biometric voting. We have e-voting. Mm-hmm. We have electronic voting. We have biometric registration where data is captured. You know, the individual data is captured. Then you have verification where voters go to a polling station and they are given the opportunity to verify their papers, whether they are really, for example, if you approach a polling station with the intention of casting a vote, you will have to indicate, you know, beyond just the physical inspection, but of course you are physically safe. That is what it's all about. And that is the verification, and it goes with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And in due course, if God willing, it really happens, then the Electoral Commission would embark on an intensive education to make sure that all stakeholders are properly educated.
Yeah. So, have you had the IPAC to agree to this, or you think this is a process you want to take forward?
At the moment, there are committees. You know, at the last IPAC, the Electoral Commission set a committee to work on issues, including this particular one. And therefore, we need to be patient and then wait for the outcome. But whatever we do concerning any electoral process, we involve all the political parties. We involve them. Even not immediately, we do so. We involve them. We make sure that there is consensus, you know, and you make sure that we abide by the telling, abide by the rules and regulations.
So would you say for this particular one there is consensus, because we hear a few dissenting voices too?
When I talk about IPAC, let me say, was established with a view of reaching consensus. But IPAC is not a statutory body. So IPAC cannot, excuse my language, tell the EC what to buy. The IPAC can advise the Electoral Commission. I hope you get my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Good. So when do you intend calling a meeting?
Sorry?
When do you intend calling IPAC meeting?
IPAC meetings are held from time to time. IPAC meets, pardon me, the terrain is not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, engine sound, pardon me for that. But IPAC meetings are held from time to time. So definitely an IPAC meeting will be held. But as to when exactly, I'm not in the position to tell you right now.
Yeah.
But definitely therefore IPAC meetings will be held.
Mr. Sano, yeah. Is there time enough between now and the period scheduled for elections for you to go through all the necessary processes being talked about?
Sorry?
I'm asking whether there is time enough to go through all the necessary processes before elections.
Before the elections?
Yes.
Of course. The Electoral Commission has handled the elections since 1992. You know, and with each election year, we review what we have done. And we improve upon it. So, of course, if the EC says it's going to do A, B, C, then it knows, of course, that it has structures and measures in place to make sure it comes to fruition.
We want to thank you very much for your time this evening, madam.
My pleasure.
Sylvia Anno is the Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission. But we still have Mr. John Lavi on the line. He belongs to CODU. So you heard Mrs. Anno talk about the issues. And I was asking that question, whether there is consensus with IPAC. You have been observing elections. If there is no consensus, do you still see the way very clearly?
Well, there's no need for a consensus, really, IPAC. But there's need for reasonableness. If the Electoral Commission finds that what IPAC people, particularly political parties, are saying is very relevant to their process, they may adopt what they're saying. But if it is not relevant, the EC, the Electoral Commission, you know, they are the technical people. They might listen to what the politicians say, but what they say may not work technically with what is there for them as Electoral Commission to do. So consensus reaching, you have to be careful about that. Because if everybody reaches a consensus, the Electoral Commission should do this, then we are assuming the Electoral Commission will be forced to do it. The Electoral Commission, by the law, is not subject to anybody's dictation. I mean, it's there in the Constitution. So we have to be careful about reaching consensus.
Yeah, but the other concern is that this may not be a complete panacea, if we can put it that way, especially looking at what happened in the last elections. With your experience, do you think it solves all the problems in relation to electoral fraud?
You mean the biometric registration?
Yes.
Yes, it improves the register. You know, the register, if you care to know, is the most important document of any election. And if you don't have a good register, that is where the problems start coming from. And people say, look, people have just been buzzed to come and register whose names are not in the register. So it's an improvement on what we used to have, where there are people who could go and vote. Some people had two cars and all that because they don't have any document, any information which is unalterable. Now we are going to have information in the database, which is like fingerprints, the reading of a palm or fingernails, a fingerprint. That cannot be duplicated by anybody. So when you count to verification and it is verified that it's only one person that can have this identity, it is only one person. You cannot have two cars, for example, and be able to use those two cars in different polling stations. So it's an improvement to tighten the integrity of our electoral register. We started in 1992 and we've been improving over the years. So we have to be patient
and get the things that everybody should just understand and we get it done. It may not be the end all now. We may go on and do a few other things. Like you pointed out electronic voting. Yes, electronic voting is also a means to tighten, to make the election faster and the election results releases faster. But then that takes time. It takes a lot of investment. You're talking about electronic voting machines in all the 22 or 21,000 police stations in this country. You have to have an economy that is large enough to absorb all that.
Yeah. So, calling and counting on your experience, at least having a free, fair, transparent election is what all the parties are calling for. And you've spoken about improvement, consistent improvement. Do you think there is something you want to suggest that perhaps will get it closer to 100%?
Yes, what I want to suggest is what we have always suggested, that everybody should find their role in the electoral process. The political parties should not fight like a do or die situation. If everybody believes that if the process is transparent, everybody has their right to vote and vote their conscience, and it is done and it is counted, and then objectively it is declared that this is the person or this that is the person, then we will be accepting the result. The result will not have been manipulated by anybody, because everybody is conscious of the correctness of the process. That is first. Secondly, the Electoral Commission itself, we should always make sure that materials are available. Poll workers are trained very well in the objective prosecution of the electoral process. Because if the poll worker who is at the end, the person who provide materials to be counted, is not well trained and therefore he makes mistakes, then that creates a lot of problems. And then for us, the voters, yes, you go and do your civic duty by voting your conscience, and only vote your conscience. Don't get bought by anybody because they think that it's they alone who must win the day. You are a citizen and you are entrusted to vote your own conscience as to find leaders or people who want to be leaders. As you find them in this country, vote your conscience, and the electoral process will take the rest, will take over the rest and will declare the result.
Mr. John Lavi, we want to thank you very much too.
You're welcome.
Mr. John Lavi is an election analyst and a member of the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers. But the parties are those involved. They will be competing for TEF when all these things are being used. Murtala Mohammed is the CPP National Youth Organizer. He's also joined us on the line. Good evening, Murtala.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
So what is your view about the Electoral Commission's stand now?
I think even prior to your prior to EC's decision to include the verification of the biometric to their budget, CPP has come out already with their position, and that is clear. We have made our position clear that the verification or authentication of the biometric is essential as the biometric itself. Because we all know what biometric will do to our electoral fortunes or process. It is going to enhance it. And so we are all for the authentication and the biometric itself.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't see any challenge at all, because it is hinged on the budget being provided for the purpose.
How huge is a budget if it is going to plunge this nation into chaos? I mean, I don't think the budget for biometric itself is that large and bigger if we add the authentication. It's not that big. So please, the cost cannot be a yardstick why we should go and do biometric without authentication. That will bring violence and chaos in the country.
Yeah. So, Murtala, asking you directly, some have said that it is not the EC that creates problems during elections, but it's the parties and their representatives, yes, especially the youth.
That is no doubt. But the thing is that the EC too must not be seen as not listening to the parties, so that the impression is created as though they have an intention of rigging or manipulating the system to favor one party or the other. So, you see, that is the matter in question. It has nothing to do with who is the one who is causing the problems. It has everything to do with the independent body not not showing the way or to be seen as though supporting one party. Okay, that's the issue. So the electoral commission, as independent as they are, they need to stay like that. Okay, so that we have a fair and free election.
I want to thank you very much, Murtala Mohammed, for your time too. That is the CPP National Youth Organizer. But Mr. Siedun Ketia is the General Secretary of the NDC. They have a few concerns on the EC taking the stand and against the biometric the checks that should be put in place and all. He will articulate it for us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
Yes, and we are asking. Some of the parties are saying this is the way to go. Are you agreeing with them?
You see, when you listen to some of the arguments that are being bandied around, you get the impression that the people speaking don't understand the issue of biometric registration at all.
Why do you say so?
The challenge that we are trying to address is that we have been grappling with the problem of bloating of the voters' register, because people write their names and we don't take their biometric data that is peculiar to the individual. So it has been possible for people to register more than once. This problem has been with us for over the years, but became very well pronounced in the immediate past election when NDC led the crusade to fight against the bloating of the register, and when we detected that 13 constituencies in Ashanti regions had their voters' register bloated by up to about 100%. So Electoral Commission set a committee to investigate these things. They themselves came to the conclusion that there was a need to clean the register. They did everything possible according to them within their means to clean this register, but they ended up concluding that the register still had about 1 million extra or ghost voters. So the problem that we are trying to deal with is to get a clean register. And the way to get a clean register is to take the fingerprints of each individual, which is peculiar to that individual. So that at the end of the system, there is a process of deduplication. So wherever the same fingerprints appear once, more than once, those names are removed. And then you get a clean register, which you can then take to election. That is what we mean by biometric registration. And so that is what we are looking for. If we are able to get that done, and we go into election with a clean register, who says that that alone would then lead to confusion in the voting process?
Yeah, but if I say, don't get here.
Now, when we are talking about verification,
that is precisely biometric,
biometric verification. Verification has been practiced all over these years. Our system of verification, which we have been using, is that you have a voter's ID card with your picture embossed on it, and then you have your picture also embossed against your name in the voter's register. And then you have party agents sitting around the table to cross-check that the person who has presented himself at the police station is indeed Asiedun Ketia, whose name appears in this register with his picture in the register and another picture on the card he's holding, and he's carrying his face. So representatives of the parties are there to help the Electoral Commission officials to cross-check to satisfy that you are indeed Asiedun Ketia, then they allow you to go and cast your vote. That has been the system of verification. Now, the problems we have identified with the system of verification is not that the system is not effective. It is that there is the security at the polling stations becomes problematic, where in the stronghold of certain political parties, it is possible for the main party there to drive away the agents of opposing parties so they can vote without cross-checking their pictures. And so it becomes possible for one person to vote more than one in party strongholds. Again, there is the case where some electoral commission officials intimidate other people, by other party agents, by driving them away from the table where they are to participate in the verification. And there are cases where there is no adequate security, so macho people can invade the polling station and maybe tamper with the register or the ballot box and so on. These are the problems that have been identified with the voting day practices.
Yeah. But Mr. Siyadun Ketia, please let me come in here. Don't you think
this country identified that the problem at the polling station is lack of some equipment which will take thumbprints on the voting day before you are cleared to go up?
But assuming that is there, don't you think it will still enhance the process?
Installing that system also comes along with its difficulties. So it is not just theoretical that if you bring the machine, then you get a perfect system. If you bring the machine and you don't have those conditions satisfied, you will end up messing up the system to create confusion for the election. So what we are saying is that if we are doing biometric registration to clean the register, and there is no extra equipment on polling day to check, at least all the parties will have confidence in the register that we have 10 million voters and the list contains 10 million. Everybody is satisfied that nobody's name appears twice. So if we present it at the polling station and we use our regular systems of voting, who can tell me that that is a recipe for confusion?
So are you going to...
So why did that confusion not exist in the past election, when we even went into election with the bloated register on top of the manual verification?
So for now, the EC is adding it to its budget. What do you think you want to do? The EC is adding it to its budget. It wants to go ahead.
The Commission
yes.
has persistently told people that going in for biometric registration itself is a mouthful. So we should concentrate on doing the getting a clean register from the biometric registration and then take it to the election. And the other parties are saying that no, if it is about the cost, we have to, government has to provide it. Let me tell you, it is not about the cost, and Afarijan has told everybody that the issue about verification is not about procuring equipment. Because as you are talking about now, if it is just 20 million, which government cannot afford 20 million? But if you are going to spend the money with the intention of addressing a problem which will not be addressed, then you are wasting the money.
Okay.
So we are saying that if anybody has money to support the system, they should support us in going into things that will provide solution to the problems we have identified on the polling day.
Okay.
It doesn't include lack of equipment, any new equipment for thumbprints at the polling station. What has been identified includes a lack of adequate security at the polling station
okay.
to ensure that everybody who has assignment at the polling station
so does that mean
to do that assignment without fear or favor and in an atmosphere of lack of intimidation.
Okay.
And every voter will go there and vote.
Okay, I guess your point is very well made. Mr. Siyadun Ketia, I want to thank you very much. That is the General Secretary of the National Democratic Congress. But Anthony Abeifa Kabu is National Youth Organizer of the MPP. Tony, you are welcome.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Yes. Do you think that now, with the EC taking this approach now, you are happy?
Well, I think that this has been, the approach of the EC has been the clarion call that the people of this country have been making. It's not for the NPP to be happy or not be happy about what is in the interest of the people of this country. I heard the General Secretary of the NDC making some very spurious arguments about the justification of a biometric system, and therefore it raises a couple of concerns about whether indeed we are all speaking from the same page. First of all, what has been the MPP's position? I think that is where we must start from. What we had always been advocating for right after the 2008 elections was for the support of the idea that the country should adopt a biometric voting system, which will allow for us to deal with a couple of issues. Number one is the matter of multiple registration and, of course, multiple voting on the day of election. And you would recall that even now, one of the things that the MPP is being accused for is the fact that in Menchia constituency, in a particular polling station, you had a huge number of people voting way above the number of registered voters at the particular polling station. Now, if you hear the side of the MPP's accusation, they make reference to polling stations in the Volta region where you had multiple registration, you had a huge number of people voting beyond the number of registered people at the particular voting point. You see, all these back and forth between the two political parties about irregularities in voting is what we should begin, and as we have identified over the years, is what we should begin to look for solutions to address. One of the things that this whole verification software will seek to address is the fact that when a person registers at a particular polling station, the person cannot go and vote after voting in one polling station, vote in another polling station. And these are the kinds of things we're talking about that is important, that Kingsley, if you walk up to a polling station, we must be able to identify you. And I think that the NDC as a party is a bit... is a bit, you know, not in the understanding of what we're talking about, being able to authenticate or verify a particular voter once you step out. Even in our own normal life, take elections out of the equation. This country has implemented the eSwitch system for the past 4 years. Under the eSwitch program, if you misplace your eSwitch card, nobody can walk into the bank to take money from your account or use that card because of what? Because your biodata and your fingerprints have been captured by the system. If you go to the bank to take out money, one of the things that the bank teller will have to go through with you is the fact that, you know, he needs to be sure that this is your picture, he needs to be sure that this is your signature, he needs to be sure that this is your name, and that whole process of manual verification is what we are talking about.
Okay.
And
that this Tony.
We are talking about a verification software and a verification machine which should be provided at the point of voting.
Tony,
don't confuse the issue. I think, yes.
Tony, the concern, and I want to ask you too, you know, I asked the CPP rep, that it is not foolproof. So what are you going to do as parties to ensure that at least there is some sanity at the polling stations to allow the officials to work in and all?
What is not so foolproof?
That is having the verification system. That is what
it is not true. In Kenya, a verification was used. It was fairly successful. So I don't know what we are talking about. Are we talking about a success rate of 99.1% or we are talking about a success rate of between 80, 85 to 900%? What are we talking about? That is what we should be looking at. But the point really is that when Mr. Siedun Ketia was speaking, he was talking about the fact that it is more about security at the polling station. If it is security at the polling station, it is not the business of the Electoral Commission to talk about security matters at the point of voting. It is a matter for the Ghana police and the security agencies who will be deployed on the day of voting. I heard the Electoral Commissioner making the argument about 6 ballot boxes were ransacked from a particular place. Of course, why? Who people did that? They did that in the full glare of the police and security personnel who were standing there and were helpless and were unable to stop that. That is a matter which all the political parties must reach a consensus upon and make sure that we are able to agree with the police so that police will not stand there looking whilst trucks of the political parties come to ransack the day of voting. That is
Tony,
the point that we should be making.
And the discussions will still continue about the security issues and all the other concerns.
The business about verification must be made very clear, and that people in the MPP are in support of this. Many Ghanaians are interested in this. And the question I've been asking myself, Kingsley, before I leave you on your program is, why is the NDC not in support of any attempt that will give us a credible election and are against it? Why is the NDC against the verification? Is there anything to hide? There's nothing to hide. And I don't think that 20 million Ghana cedis or $20 million is enough money for the NDC.
Tony Abayefakabu, that is where time will permit us to get to. But we want to thank you so much for your time, for joining us on Behind the News tonight. It's Behind the News and you are live on Radio BR, Sunyai. Behind the News, you are still live on the internet at www.gbcghana.com. Well, while the debate whether to go biometric voting or not continues, one interest group in Ghana's democratic governance, the CPP, is yet to settle on an internal issue of fixing a date for its presidential primaries. Today, regional constituency executives of the CPP representing 27 constituencies issued a statement and indicated that the party will be worse off without the early election of a presidential candidate. What makes these constituency executives think so? The spokesperson is Mohammed Yakubu, and he also doubles as the Okankwin of CPP constituency secretary. He's joined us on the line. Good evening, Mohammed.
Good evening,
Some people will say that perhaps your executives will have their own plan towards your primaries. Are you not stampeding them into action?
Not exactly. We are not. This is not stampede. We just want things to be. The point is, they've not come to explain why any election, and in fact, we don't see any reason why the tribunal election, the primaries at this time.
Yeah, but don't you have any explanation at all as to what they are doing presently towards the primaries?
We are not informed about any explanation.
Yeah.
Except say they want to settle out some cases and strengthen party structures.
Yeah.
And so forth. All that we've heard, I have heard, is that there are certain cases pending against the party, and also that the success that we have for the concerns of the executive and so forth are not strong. That is.
Yeah. You've been alleging that the national executives were elected into office using weak structures of the CPP.
Yes.
So if now you want them to go quickly into the primaries, is it not fair that they should be allowed to address those concerns?
The concerns of structuring them cannot with the election of the presidential aspirant, it cannot wait until that one. They have to go concurrently. Because in organizing the constituencies and so forth, the activities of the aspirants, the presidential candidate itself helps ginger up activity in the constituency and can help enhance the position of the constituency.
So you believe that it won't even hurt your party if they go ahead, even with the structures you are talking about?
In these structures will be developed as we go ahead. They'll be deepened and strengthened as we go ahead. The point is to wait and carry out this success. To do the proper thing, we might take us all this year,
Yeah.
That means all through next year. And so that we might not even contest the presidential elections at all.
Yeah.
We find that very dangerous, because I'm sure a lot of our members will be disappointed and discouraged and might disappear in the process.
But presently, you are calling for the presidential primaries before the end of December. And looking at where we are presently, is it feasible?
It is for the leadership to try to get all stakeholders together to a certain view that might be acceptable to all. It is not to impose certain views or certain positions on the rest.
Okay. Thank you, Mohammed. But we want to pick a quick concern from Mrs. Mary Nkuma Buache Boateng, the national women's organizer of the party, as to what they are doing. But for now, Mohammed Yakubu, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam, you are welcome.
Thank you.
What is delaying the process?
I wouldn't say anything is delaying the process. You've been voted to office in, I think, 2 months. I tend to agree with, who did you say he is?
Mohammed Yakubu, CPP constituency secretary for Kankwe North.
Okay. I tend to agree with him. I should say that, I mean, I agree perfectly with him. We went out there to campaign and they came out to vote for us. And it's the same structures that they used to vote for us. This is the same structure that is going to vote for a presidential candidate. I mean, in CPP, it's the constituency executives that comes to vote. And the constituency executives were elected before they came to vote for us. And this constituency executive that has been elected is going to be there for the next 2 years. So, I mean, if one says that we should go and organize, I mean, polling stations before we go for Congress, I mean, it's a bit, I don't know how to describe it, but to me, I mean, it's a bit flimsy a reason.
Yeah, so do you have any ideas to when you'll be going to the primaries?
Well, as leadership, we met, but a decision was not taken. We couldn't reach any consensus, and we don't even have the mandate. We went there, we couldn't reach a consensus, so, I mean, Central Committee has to take the decision. We went to Central Committee, and Central Committee mandated the leadership to go and take a decision. They gave us only 2 weeks to go and take a decision on it, and even announce the dates.
But you still don't have it.
Yes, but we still don't have it.
Okay. Okay. Madam, certainly, as the discussions continue on this one, we have to come back on it and see how best you resolve that problem. But for now, I want to thank you because of our time. This is Mary Ankuma Bwachi, organizer of the CP. Obamzu Nansu Alavanyo is saying kudos to the Blasters for defeating Azingo National by 2-1. And Awini Ayaba Peter Aguna, whether verification or no verification, the MPP will never win 2012 elections. And Sham Yendi is saying NDC is running away from the verification because 2012 is for MPP. And Nuhu Bwabula Boku, Ghanaian politicians should allow the EC to function as an independent body, as we know. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. On behalf of Gifty Obushi Brumu, sat at the controls for us, Christopher Siedu, Bright Agama, Edmund Tete in the production team. My name is Kingsley Obinchere.